I want to show you this video, and then we're going to compare the nature of the Father. Then we're going to go home tonight. I just want to give you guys a moment to get to know me. But anyway, while we're waiting, that scripture says, I will not leave you as an orphan. I'll come to you and I'll love you. Anybody ever feel like an orphan? Anybody ever feel like you don't have a safe place to where you can go and be comfortable? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. It's not attacking anybody or being cruel to anybody. It's just a matter of being honest. I want a safe place to where I feel safe and protected. I want you to see what having protection should feel like.
And you have to see this video to believe it. What first looks like a lion about to attack is actually an African lion bonding with its rescuer with a hug and a kiss. This heartwarming footage comes to us from an animal sanctuary in Colombia. It seems the king of the jungle must have a soft side after all. Yeah, because when you first see that right there, you don't know what's going on.
She has a big kiss on him.
Right. She actually rescued him 6 years ago. He was found malnourished, so they're together every single day, and
he loves her.
The love has formed, hasn't it?
Now see, I can't even get my dog to sit in my lap.
I'm sure you can.
We'll talk.
Okay. How many people would do that? Wow. How many people would let that lion pull you right on up in there? See, when people first watch that video, they think that lion's going to attack her. But you see, she found that lion, that little orphan lion that had no place, nobody to love them, that wounded little thing. And she raised him until he got big enough that she had to put him in a sanctuary. And she left. She left for months so that he would grow and get used to that. Well, then she came back to check on him. And you know what she did? Did you see her pop her hands on that thing? You know what she was doing? She was releasing her scent. Because when the lion walked by, he didn't really notice her. When she released her scent, immediately he turns. Oh, mama. Safety. And you see, it's just like the heart of little kids. You know, it's like the heart of the orphans in the world. It's like the heart of people that are tired of church because they've been told church isn't a safe place. Church is not a place where I can feel comfortable. Church is not a place where somebody's going to pull me up. Because all of us are looking for that sloppy, wet kiss. There's a song about it. Oh, yeah, you're being too familiar. See, that's what the world will tell you. You're being too familiar. You know what? I'm so sick of the world. You know, I like this God better. I like this image. Does that work? I like this image of who Father God is so much better. So I want to skip over some stuff, and I just want to get down to this chart tonight. This is where it all began for us. This is what changed my image of who Father God is. And we got this from Jack Winter, because you see, when my husband was an angry man. They knew angry Jack. Striving, performing. Go in here, let's get it done, right? Come on, John. We were in different departments, so we probably didn't really do a... Yeah, it didn't.
Well, it was there.
It was there. There were moments I wanted to send him to heaven before he ever went, but still. Anyway, before his time. But my angry, detached, emotionally detached husband, Jack, you know, he was an angry fisherman. And he had never been saved, and he got saved at sea while smoking a joint, listening to the song, Jesus is Just All Right With Me. Now, that's a good way to get saved. I'm not advocating legalizing marijuana, but I'm just telling you, he got saved. But how many of you know that just because you get saved, sometimes that doesn't change your behavior? Ooh, so now I have mean save Jack. He's going to heaven, but he's still mean. He's angry. Why is he angry? And again, that's a story for a different day. But he had abusive parents. And so his image of this guy became his image of how he was treated from this guy. Now, are we going to blame this guy? Heck yeah. For a season. Until we understand what we're going to talk about right now. And that's the nature of who Father God really is. Because, see, Jack could relate to Jesus. loving, kind. Can't we all relate to our brother Jesus? He's just a good old boy. But Father? Father? Father means I have to perform. Father means I have to work for acceptance. Father means abuse. Father means he's going to holler and scream at me. Father means if I fail, if I mess up, there's no way, there's nobody there to comfort me. And so Jack grew up with that image of who Father God is until he got this revelation. And how he got this revelation is Jack got tired of hurting our kids. Now, Trisha was perfect, right? Of course. But we're talking about Jack. He's in heaven. He doesn't care. I'm still on this earth. I care a little bit. But when after Jack got saved, he really began to look in his son's eyes and his daughter's eyes and realize the pain. They just, you know, just like all kids, they just want that safe place. They just want to, whatever they do, they want that attaboy. You know, that affirmation. And so many people grow up in homes to where that's not happening. And so they develop an orphan mindset, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about how we recognize it and how we identify it and how we get rid of it. But it starts with our image. How do we exchange our image of this guy from not being that guy? Well, this is how we do it. Because, again, Jesus is so nice. The Holy Spirit's comforting. But that God, that Father, he's angry. So I want to share with you just a couple of scriptures. And you, some of you may want to write this down because we got this revelation from Jack Winter. And this is the part of the story I left out. After Jack Frost got saved, he was still angry and he was still mean. And so we went to Toronto. And up in Toronto, there was a little guy there. My husband was 6'5". And there was this little guy up there and his name was Jack Winter. Now, this just goes to show how Jesus cares. So Jack Winter, 5'6", prayed for 6'5", Jack Frost, to receive a revelation of Father's love. See, he cares right down to the last details of your life, and he does have a sense of humor. And see, this image of who God is the Father I want. I want to know this Father, the one that I can get close to. The one that I can feel safe in their presence. And the only way to do that is to change your image of how we see him. So if you have a piece of paper, put on one side, put on the top, nature God. And on one side, put Jesus. And the other side, put Father. Because I want to show you, this did it for us. Jack Winter put this up there. And this changed us forever. And as it changed us, here's the deal. In the last 10 years, I've traveled over 550,000 road miles. That's a lot of road miles. We've been in every nation, just about, and on every continent. I have pictures of my husband sitting with penguins talking to them. I have no idea what he was saying. In Antarctica. That's the kind of influence Father wants you to have. That influence wasn't set aside just for Trisha and Jack. You have that side. You have that kind of influence because he's called you to the nations. He's called all of us to the nations. The nations are going to come to us, but they're only going to come as we change our image of who Father is. Hebrews 1:3 says this, the Son perfectly mirrors the Father and is stamped with the Father's nature. So would all of you agree then that Jesus is a nice guy? Jesus is a nice guy. Would all of you agree that that scripture is true? Okay, it's the word of God. It's the infallible word of God. That means it's the truthful word of God, even interpreted through man. So there's another scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, from glory to glory, we, say me, are forever being transformed into his image. Into his likeness. Okay. Who's that talking about? Talking about us being transformed into the image of Jesus. Okay. We got that. All right. If we're going to be like Jesus, this says that Jesus is like who? The Father. So we have to change our image of what we think the Father is like. Here's how that works. So we're going to run through this. In Matthew 11:25, I think it is. It might be 25:11. No, 11:29 says this. It's the only place where Jesus himself describes himself. He says, I'm meek and lowly. Not angry and mean. Is angry and mean up there? No. But the world has been told that he's mean. The world has been told you got to live these laws. And I'm not saying there's not going to be consequences for bad behavior. I'm not saying that at all. There will be consequences for bad behavior. But that's after the judgment. Right now, and there'll be consequences for bad behavior on this earth. Don't you just love for people to, you ever seen somebody do something stupid and then they get hurt and you can't help but laugh? Y'all don't do that? Oh gosh, we do that. We are so bad. But what I'm saying is the consequence of their stupid behavior. It's the consequences of our behavior sometimes that we step into things and things hurt and wound us. But it's not judgment. So Jesus describes himself as meek and lowly. All right? So if Jesus perfectly mirrors the Father and is stamped with the Father's nature, what do you got to put under the nature of the Father? He's meek and lowly. No, Tricia, he's just like my daddy. He's mean and angry. No, he's meek and lowly. And the next thing, gentle and humble. Paul describes him in 2 Corinthians 10:1, describes Jesus as being gentle and humble. No, that's not God. That's Jesus. But that's not who the Father is. He's going to get you. He's out to get you. Did you mess up today? You're going to hell. No, you're not. I'm glad you don't believe that. But some people do believe that. And so if Jesus perfectly mirrors the Father and is stamped with the Father's nature, so what do we have to put under the nature of the Father? See, this chart forever changed my image of who God is. And so we go on. There's a couple more. Jesus is generous. Is he not generous? Who fed the 5,000? Jesus did. But John 5:19 says this, I can't do anything except what I've seen my father do. Right, so where did he get the idea to feed the 5,000? He got it from the Father. So underneath the nature of the Father, what do we have to put? But he gives you just enough to get by. I don't have this. I don't have that. Well, we're going to talk about that on Sunday because, see, the charismatic move, again, we have messed up the whole prosperity message. But Sunday, we're going to talk about the prosperity message and how it really works, how to pray a simple prayer that will forever change your image of a stingy father or a father who gives you just as much to get by. I had that concept. I had that image. This changed it. All right, the next thing. Jesus is compassionate. James 5:11 says this. See, here's the deal. I love the Bible, and I've taken it literal now. And a good translation of the Bible is the Passion Translation. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but Brian Simmons is a friend of mine. See, I just am so amazing with all these friends. But I'm fixing to be with him in July. He translated the Passion Translation, which a lot of people are arguing about, but they're saying it's going to be the most accurate translation of the Bible. Isn't that great? James 5:11 says this in the Passion Translation. He cares right down to the last detail of your life. Do what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jack's dead. Cares right down to the last detail. Jack's dead. He cares right down to the last detail. And look at what I get to do in life. Look at my destiny. I'm not the same person that I was when my image of this God was angry. I'm a different person, and I get to experience the most exciting life in the world. Well, Trisha, I don't even want to travel and do the things you do. You don't have to. You can still have an exciting life because God is no respecter of persons, and the person sitting beside you is just as important as Bill Johnson or Brian Simmons or Paul Young or Trisha Frost. Let's throw her in. You got to love yourself. I do love myself. So if he's compassion, if James 5:11 is true, and he cares right down to the last detail, this brother Jesus, and he's just like the Father, what do we have to put under the nature of the Father? He's compassionate. See, when we begin, see the shift? See the shift? When we begin to forever shift our image of who God is. And then just two more. Forgiving. Where did Jesus get the idea to forgive? Do you know something else too? Jesus couldn't forgive. John 3:16. Who did the forgiving? For God so loved. For the Father so loved that he gave you his Son. And Jesus couldn't do anything he hadn't seen the Father do. So under the nature of the Father, what do we have to put? Because it was his idea to begin with. And the next thing, non-judgmental. Any of you guys ever have Christian brothers that are just telling you all the time, I am on a new Facebook website of people to stay away from? Isn't that great? Bill Johnson's on there with me. Brian Simmons, Paul Young, Heidi Baker. Franklin Graham made it. Oh, Lord. Franklin Graham's on that list. Beth Moore. Somebody put on there the other day, break free from Beth Moore. You guys know who Beth Moore is, the wonderful Baptist lady with all the Bible teachers. Stay away from her. She doesn't know the Father. These law-based, judgmental Christians. You know, what does that do? When you put that out there, it separates. I want to draw. I want to draw. And so if Jesus is non-judgmental because John 3:17 says, for God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that world through him would what? So if it's Jesus' job to save the world, how about us? If we're walking in his image, we can't. I mean, Jesus is the way to salvation, but I'm a path that can take them to Jesus, and Jesus will take them to Daddy. So underneath the Father, we put non-judgmental. Romans 8. Anytime somebody comes up to you with all these law-based things, give them Romans 8:15. Because you see, if you hang out with this image of who Father God is, people are going to come against you. When you hang out and you begin to draw people to intimacy, jealousy, Lucifer doesn't like that. Because he don't care how many people you get saved. He doesn't want you experiencing what he never had. And that's an intimate relationship with a loving Father. He never had it. And he doesn't want you to get it. So he's all out force over you, stopping you from introducing people to this Father. Come on. Romans 8:15 says this, this resurrection life you've received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Everybody say with me, it's adventurous, it's expectant, it's greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? And that's how I start my day. That's how I start my day with this new image of who Father God. Father, thank you. I'm up and I'm at it today. What's next? And I look for those assignments, people that sniff me out. And then the last one is he's a loving servant. When Jesus showed the full extent of his love, what did he do? He died. Well, he took on, no, when, let's put it, let me back up. Jesus showed the full extent of his love to those he loved the most, which was his disciples. And so whenever he showed the full extent of his love, what did he do? He took off his authority first. He took off his robe of righteousness and he clothed himself with just the sackcloth. And he got down before them and he washed their feet. It is. Where did he get the idea from? Jesus can't do anything except what he's seen the Father do. Where did he see the Father do this? Here's what I believe. I don't believe. This is just my belief. You don't have to take it on your own or whatever, but this is just my belief. And my belief is that my God in heaven is such a loving, kind Father that when I get to heaven, St. Peter's not going to meet me at the pearly gate with a list to see if my name's in that book. What's going to happen, I believe, is that Father is going to be there. And he's going to kneel down in front of me. And he's going to wash all the cares of life and show me the full extent of his love. And that's the Father I'm going to heaven to meet. And I'm going to get there through my belief in Jesus Christ, the Son, because it's Jesus' job to take us to the Father. This is the Father. This is the image of the Father that I will live for. Am I exampling that kind of Father to the world? Because if I'm not, shame off you. Amen. There's no shame on you. But how can we make it different? How can we become the Father that we need to be? So we're going to end with this little, and I know you guys have probably seen this because we've been showing it for years. But we're going to end this tonight with a video of probably the most perfect Father that I've ever seen in my life. And his name was Dick Hoett. And Dick Hoett had a son born to him. And the son was a paraplegic because he was born with a disease and where he couldn't do anything. He couldn't go to the bathroom. He couldn't talk. He couldn't write. He couldn't do anything. So the doctors told the Hoetts, take him home. I mean, don't take him home. Put him in a state home and let them take care of him. He's too much. He's too much for you. And Dick said the most amazing thing. He goes, my son, my responsibility. See, guys, there's sons and daughters just waiting for you to step into your destiny. There's sons and daughters out there who've been so hurt and wounded by this orphan mindset that they're looking for a home. They're looking for a safe place in the bosom of a loving father and a loving mother. And so it's up to us to change our image of how we view God so that we can create that environment for their favorable development. And so anyway, Rick grew up, the son Rick grew up, and they built him a computer. They did all these things. They built him a wheelchair. He could live life as normal as he could. And one day he started looking at these races. And he started looking at these races, these triathlons, and he wanted to run one. Now, you got to remember, he can't go to the bathroom by himself. He can't drink. He can't do anything. But he made one ridiculous request of his dad. He said, Dad, will you run with me? Will you run with me? And the father did this. Who did all the work? The Father. Who got all the glory? The Son. That's the kind of Father that I'm forever going to serve. That's the kind of Father I'm going to give the rest of my life to. Is a loving, kind servant. That's the kind of Father I'm going to serve. Because you see, people are drawn to that kind of daddy. They're repulsed. They're repulsed by the angry father. And some of us have been angry fathers. You know, and again, shame off you. We can change that. Some of us have been angry spiritual fathers. Some of us have been angry sons and daughters. And we can change that as we change our image of who Father God really is. And you know how Rick did it? He told his dad after all of this, after their first race, and after his dad, man, wasn't that a ridiculous request? To ask your father, can I run a triathlon with you? And the father said, yes. And the son told his dad after the race, when I run with you, my disabilities disappear. See, guys, this is our Father. When we run with him, my disabilities disappear. Every excuse. I have none anymore. I have none. That's why I want to worship this Father. I want to know this Father. And I want to make this Father known to the next generation so that the sons will respond. So I want us to stand to our feet, and we're just going to play that song real, real soft. And I'm going to ask Katie to come up here. And what Katie and I are going to do, we're just going to walk around the room. And as we play this song, this is my anthem. I just want him to know me. And I want to know him. I want to know this Father. And so tonight, you know...